And it's time for another edition of Caring and Sharing with retired child psychologist Dr. Murray Kleiner. We go to Laguna Beach, California, where the good doctor is standing by to take your emails. Good afternoon, Dr. Kleiner.
Yeah.
Oh, you're there.
I've been here listening to your riveting conversation about car fire.
Right. Yeah? Have you ever been in a car fire?
I've not been in one. I've caused a car fire. I've never been in one.
You've caused one.
Well, I was, young and impetuous.
Sure.
I was rolling down the 405 one day, and terrible mistake. I would never do it now, but I flicked a lit cigar out of my car window.
Sure,
and
yeah.
it entered a vehicle behind me.
That happens.
Burst into flames.
Oh, my. Did you stop?
I hope they're okay.
So you didn't stop?
20, 30 years ago. I hope they're okay.
Did you stop when it happened?
No.
You kept driving.
Who would stop after you'd done something like that? Those people would be livid with me. I have some news for you, fellas.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Kleiner.
There is a possibility.
There's a possibility.
That I might be deployed.
You might be deployed.
I've never mentioned that I'm a member of the California National Guard.
You'd be deployed. You're in your, like, 60s, aren't you? Deployed?
Well, yeah.
You deployed.
Well, I got word that they're thinking about deploying my guard unit, and of course I would be expected to go.
No, you wouldn't. They'd maybe deploy your unit. You'd stay behind. You're not in any condition to go.
I have a specific role.
What's your role?
Rooting out and psych warfare.
Right.
Figuring out how to get under the skin of
sure.
the enemy.
Right, sure.
Whack job.
Yeah. All right, let's get some emails out of the way, Dr. Kleiner. This letter comes from James. He's 32, Dr. Kleiner. And he writes this. Dear Dr. Kleiner, I don't think there's any question that a woman can be pettier than most guys.
I agree with you.
But one of my guy friends has a theory.
My guy friends. What are you, a
that all women.
That sounds like a to me, sir. I'd kick him out.
He's not. No. You're not listening to the email, Dr. Kleiner. You're automatically assuming before you get the information. And let me tell you something.
I'm suffering from PTSD.
What's that?
Pre-traumatic syndrome.
Okay.
I'm anticipating what might happen, right. And it's freaking me the
I understand. But one of my guy friends has a theory that all women...
Guy friends? What man says that?
Maybe I'll edit the letter for him. But one of my buddies...
Okay.
But one of my buddies has a theory that all women automatically hate other women before they've even gotten to know each other. And a couple of my female friends have even confirmed the idea. They tell me that they don't like other women because what they do is try to size each other up. So, Dr. Kleiner, here's my question. Do women judge other women quickly? Signed, James, he's 32. In other words, you know, your cat fights, doctor.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair. Fair enough. Would you like to go to another letter?
I mean, I could elaborate, but that's the gist of it.
Yes.
First of all, I cannot emphasize this enough. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Women are irrational slaves to their emotions.
Sure, you've said that many
times. There is deep-seated insecurities with the best woman. They're all crazy. Just depends on what kind of crazy.
Right.
I've taught you this.
Yes,
you know
you have. You've educated me over 15 years, doctor.
And in our private conversations that I've been privy to, you've lived it.
I've lived it.
You take a look at a woman who's standing in front of the bathroom mirror blow drying her hair,
mm-hmm.
effing with her makeup.
Yeah.
She'll go through 5-6 outfits, mumbling under her breath, oh, I'm such a fat pig. It'll be happening tonight, you fellas. You just listen. There's a lot of conversation going on between your woman and herself,
mm-hmm.
and they're very self-critical.
Yeah.
And so that puts them in a mood. And right. then they go out, and they make them feel themselves feel better. They'll go, well, at least I don't look as bad as that bitch.
Right, that's what I'm looking at. There's the knowledge of Dr. Klenner. It's the truth.
They'll be going, boy, I had nothing to worry about at all. I didn't know that I was going to be out with all these pigs. How can she show her face in public?
Right.
Her
right.
makeup looks like a whore.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know what he sees in her. Be going on all night long.
Yeah. And so, yeah, in fact, yes, James, Dr. Klenner says women do judge other women very quickly.
I still say he sounds like a what man says, oh, one of my guy friends.
This next letter.
I'm telling you, I would love to meet his mother because I bet she's a real ball buster.
This next letter is from Jenny. She's 26, and she's got a problem, Dr. Klenner. So she writes to you and says, dear Dr. Klenner.
Wow, she's a 26-year-old woman with problems.
Yes. And again, these problems are not personal. They're usually social problems, problems with roommates, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends.
Hi, friend.
Yeah, and she falls into this category. She writes, dear Dr. Klenner, my roommate is into kinky stuff, which would normally be fine. The only problem is she always leaves her novelty toys out for all our guests to see. I'm not sure if she does this intentionally or what, but she leaves them out in the open in her bedroom, and her bedroom door is always wide open. It's really embarrassing when I have a guest over for them to walk on their way to the bathroom and see her door wide open with novelty toys out. Should I tell her to keep those things hidden? Isn't it somewhat disgusting that she does this? It's signed Jenny. She's 26, Dr. Klenner.
Well, it sounds like your roommate, I would guess her name's probably Slappin' Susie. But, you know, if you were asking me this 10 years ago,
yeah,
I would have a different answer. This is so widespread and so accepted now that there's no social taboo left.
None. No, I think
as
you're right.
As far as, you know, women think that there's nothing wrong with soaking the whisker biscuit. They even think it's funny and... Mm-hmm. You know, shining the diamonds, stirring the soup, soaking the furnace, swimming in the Putang River, spelunking in the mystery cave.
But that's one thing, but leaving the door wide open with all of these toys and things right out in the open, I mean, that's...
The old feeling squeal.
It's just not right, though, is it, Doctor?
What, for her to visit Father Thumb and his four sons? You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Getting the fingers all wrinkled. Carpet weaving.
Yeah, sure.
Erasing the problem.
Right.
Fiddling the bean.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, a little finger painting. Fluffing the muffin. Getting a stain out of the carpet.
Oh.
Gathering mud for the turtle.
Oh.
Gusset typing.
Okay.
Lady fingers in cream.
We're fresh out of time, Doctor.
Hitchhiking south. Jostling the elder.
Jostling the elder.
Like you didn't like that one? Making a mini Eiffel Tower.
Oh,
Making the little man sing.
Okay, doctor.
A little menage a moi.
Menage a moi.
Nursing a hatchet wound. Opening the bottom drawer. Petting the petunia.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
Playing couch hockey.
Okay.
Plunging the happy hole, playing the guitar.
Okay. We gotta go.
Putting out the fire, reading Braille, riding the unicycle.
Okay. I gotta go.
Riding your own mule down the Grand Canyon.
See you later. See you, bye.
Bolting the beef curtains.
Okay, all right. There goes Dr. Kleiner.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Bastards of Beasley Broadcasting. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. I'm not even gonna begin to tell you about my day. Why isn't the ear microphone working now? Hold on. Hold on. Talk to me.
Could be budget.
No.
Budget cuts. Budget cuts.
Hold it.
Hello? Oh, there. Budget cuts.
Okay. I'm always the last to know about stuff. Well, you are, because I got to tell you, if I don't know about it, you don't know about it. So, and this is not new to...
And am I going to be able to handle it?
No, you're probably not.
Oh, Christ.
This is how...
I just turn around?
Yeah. I'm going to give you, everybody within the sound of my voice, I'm going to open the door a little bit and give you a little background on how, and I think it's plotted, how Stan and Haney are effed with when we don't try to make any waves. We try to go about our business. So, this is just today. And I think it's a good thing, but they got to understand we're us. We're old school. I found out on Monday, didn't know about it beforehand, wasn't warned about it, wasn't told about it. And it's a good thing that we, as far as payroll and all that go, we're automated. So many companies have the companies that do the automated payroll stuff. And it's almost like if you have a doctor and you have that health portal where you can go and sign in, see everything the doctor's done to you, see everything that shows your medication, shows everything. Well, they're kind of doing that now at our company. This is what you make. Here are your vacation days available to you. Here's your bonuses. Here's what your hourly rate is if you're an hourly employee. It eliminates the pay stubs and all of that stuff. Fantastic. Fantastic. So they tell you on the thing, and I forwarded it over to you so that you can do it, although you're going to run into problems with it. It's easy and it's simple because you're already in the system. You just give them the company code. They verify you with a couple of questions. You're in. There's your sign in. There's your password. You're in because you're already in the system. We just have to recognize you. So I'm like, okay, this seems simple enough. Everybody around the building, I'm in. Hey, that was simple. That was as easy as it comes. So I'm like, okay, Stan is going to do this. I'll let Haney know about it. He can do it too. So I type my stuff in. Huh? Hello. How are you?
You've got mail.
Yeah. So it says to me, okay, put in the company code. There goes the company code. And it said, hello, Stan. We're going to ask a few questions to verify who you are so that nobody can go and steal your information. Okay? So I'm at the computer. Click. First question it asks me. Which one of these five are the last five digits of your driver's license number? Bop, 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 or none? And I'm like, okay, let me go into my wallet here and check the driver, and I'll find out which one it is. You've timed out. I timed out.
Well, I'm sure it gave you plenty of
20
time.
20 seconds. 20 seconds to go into my wallet, find my driver's license, look at the last five digits, and put it in. 20 seconds. You've timed out. Oh, okay. Well,
that's so convenient.
I'll start over again. I start over again. It won't take it. My account has been locked.
For your protection.
For my protection. So I go to our manager. What do you call him?
I call him Shane.
Account manager.
That's what I call him.
Yeah, human resources. And I say, can you please find out why I'm locked out? says, well, I got to send you the contact person at the place, and they'll be glad to do it for you.
Okay.
Okay, we're sorry.
You're well down the rabbit hole at this point.
We're sorry, Stan. We will send you a code in your email so that you can undo the block that's been put on your thing because you didn't grab your driver's license in 20 seconds. We'll send you a code so it'll lift.
Didn't know it was going to be like a test of skill.
Yeah.
How fast can you get to your driver's license?
So it'll lift the block. So I go and sign in again. It says, we have sent you an email to the email that you and I have had. Ahoy is our private email, but our station email, and we've said it before, Stan and Haney at 96krock.com. It's been that way since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1991, it's been Stan and Haney at 96krock.com. Okay. It's been that way for almost 30 years. And it says it. That's the information they have on me. You know, driver's license number. We have sent your confirmation code to Stan and Haney at 96krock.com. Great. Never comes. Really? Send again. Never comes. So I go to our engineer. Is there a reason why I'm not getting my email? I have, and I have 15 minutes to put that into the session.
Yeah,
or I'm locked
out. Yeah.
So
you'll be double locked out.
They say, we don't handle this anymore. It's corporate. Let me give you the email to the corporate email guy who can figure out where the email's being sent to. Where is it being blocked? Because it's not in junk. It's not in it. I get an email back from him. Well, your email's not set up correctly, so I'm going to have to work on it. But there should be no reason why you didn't get this. But let me check. A few minutes goes by, and he goes, they need your real name, Stan. I said, that's my real name. They have you listed as Stan Haney. I said, no. It's Stan and Haney at 96krock.com.
They need your real name.
I'm the administrator of this email. I hold the password. No reply left. A few minutes goes by. I get it from the corporate guy. Do you mean to tell me that there are two people's names on this email? Yes. Now we have trouble.
Oh, God.
I'm like, all I want to do, because
this is impossible.
They're sending big announcements through the building. You must have this done by Friday. If you have not done it now, please, administrators and managers, let all your employees know this must be done. Christ. I have tried now for 2 days just to go and put my password. Now the word comes down. Well, if they're going to go and rework Stan and Haney at 96krock.com, how's Haney going to go and get his stuff? Well, somebody better
tell him he'll be fine.
Somebody better notify him that administrators have to go and set up a whole new. And I'm like, this has been the same since 1991. And it shouldn't prevent the payroll company from sending me the code. I get emails from people all over the world.
Works fine.
And it works fine. So, needless to say, I think you and I, as of next week, they're withholding our paychecks.
You know, I don't feel good anyway. And I just... these are created problems.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
there
like,
was no problem. They created problems.
How is this? Why is this haunting me?
Can't we just be like grandfathered in?
And when you walked in, I was talking to Junior because they're jumping down Junior's ass about the prizes that we're giving away because, unlike it was a year ago where we would get the prize sheets that we're supposed to give away, they computerized all of that.
Oh, to make it more efficient.
So let's just...
And now it doesn't work.
So let's just hypothetically say, like it used to be in the old days, Stan and Haney, you have 5 of these giveaways to do this week, each day of the week, Monday, Tuesday.
Here's your prize sheet.
Here's your prize sheet for 5 days this week. You got 5 of them.
Yep.
Give them away as you want. Well, the computer now says you've got 350 of these to be spread out over the next 6 months, and that is for everybody that works at the radio station, so you got to take a good guess on how much you can give away.
Yeah, Junior should not have to be making that determination.
No.
It should
just, and so he's coming in explaining to me about that, then you're coming in as I'm yelling at him.
And well done. I didn't even know what you were yelling about, but you did a great job.
And meanwhile, I'm thinking in the back of my head, I got to get this payroll thing straightened out, and then I got to break the bad news to you. We'll be back.
they need your real name.
Yeah, I've used my real...
Oh, God. I don't need this.
Stan and Haney.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement... actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney. Coming up on the show today, in about an hour, we'll welcome the lovely Karen into the studio. Are you smarter than Haney?
Today would be a real good day.
Oh, yeah. Something tells me you can capitalize on Haney if you're not nervous on the phone.
Unless I'm like Michael Jordan and the worse I feel, the better I do.
Up for grabs today, a pair of tickets to Universal Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando. One of the biggest prizes we give away all year, the Halloween Horror Nights. If you defeat Haney, a pair of those are going to be yours.
Yep. Everybody wants that.
Everybody wants it, and, you know, you're going to earn them. Defeat Haney. And today's a good day. He's weak. He's weak.
But you remember when they said that about Jordan?
Yeah, he was out there. NBA Finals against the Jazz.
Yeah, and like 99 points.
Yeah. Something like that.
He'd stop and puke and shoot another 3.
Yeah. So who's to say? We'll find out in less than an hour. Let's do the grab bag. That's brought to you by Bernie's City Diner. Down in Naples. Starting on Monday. Or we're Wednesday now. Starting on Monday. Few doors down from Bernie's City Diner. The all new pewter mug.
How about that?
They are just about ready to unlock the doors. And it's like 3 doors down from Bernie's new location.
And the legend,
pewter mug.
The legend lives on.
Yep. Well, today's the Big Apple reveal day. They're going to be introducing their new products all day. I mean, people are just waiting to find out what Apple is going to offer today. With new iPhone and all of that.
Apple has always strived for perfection. With this year's new products and iOS 12, we're one step closer. Our all-new iPhones, iPads, and Apple Watch, they do things. They do stuff. They do stuff better and faster than before. Lots of stuff. Stuff so cool you wouldn't believe it if we told you. Buy our stuff and you'll be more popular, more attractive, stronger, and smarter. Plus, you'll have our stuff to do things with. Cool things. Trust us. If you don't buy our stuff, you might die. Or at very least, get jettisoned into space where you'll suffocate to death. New iPhone stuff. Get it or die.
You heard him, kids.
That's how I hear their ads.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how most people hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on this. This is real. Dateline, Long Island, New York. Someone installed 3 vending machines. Okay. Long Island, New York. You got the vending machines. You're going to install the vending machines. These vending machines distribute crack pipes.
Well, that's convenient.
Actual crack pipes in the vending machine that anyone can buy for $2 worth in quarters.
Well, money's in there. That's what we get.
It's a crack pipe.
We've been here for 3 years. We've never had any problems, and now this. So it's pretty disgusting.
Did you see anyone actually using it?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people using it.
I wanted the community to see what was going on and try to get rid of it as quick as possible, because that's actually a bad area for drugs.
Obviously, it's not illegal to sell a pen. To sell a pipe is not illegal. However, this is considered drug paraphernalia, and it also is being dispensed from a machine that was installed illegally per town code.
Now, according to...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not paraphernalia until it actually is used for a drug, right?
Right, and here's where they can't pin it on you as far... They're crack pipes. That's what they're used for. What the company does is they actually put inside the crack pipe a little ink tube so they can technically say it's a pen, but it's not. And you open up the package for $2. You toss the ink tube, and you got your crack pipe. And that's how they're getting around it.
Yeah, but even if they were selling a simple pipe...
Yeah, it would have to be until it's used.
Yeah. It's not paraphernalia until it gets dirty, I think. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know. I do remember... times... Back when you and I were kids, different from today, even with more lenient drug laws, a lot of states legalizing marijuana, we used to have the big mall in our town. It was a couple towns over because we had a small town. It was called the West Farms Mall. It was one of those double floor malls that went forever. And in one of those stores at the mall... was a pot shop where you could buy all the glass.
Yeah, a head shop.
It's a head shop. All the wrapping, all the papers, the bongs, the marble pipes, all of that stuff.
Hendrix t-shirts.
Hendrix t-shirts. But they would have them all in the window. Big stand-up bongs. And
everything stinks of patchouli.
Yeah. And in those days, there were no laws saying, you know, even today at some of the places that they got to check when you go in. They have the doors that they hit the buzzer. You can go. This was wide open. Anybody could go in and buy whatever they wanted.
They're not selling drugs.
Yep, that was the. But a few years after they opened, and places all around were doing it. They either closed down or they had to be, you had to be buzzered in. But back in the day, nobody said anything.
You know, go in there and with every purchase, a ticket to the Pink Floyd laser light show at the planetarium.
Yep. All right, this is scary stuff, thanks to body cam.
But there was no such thing as crack back then.
No, there wasn't. It was a good old powdered cocaine.
Yep.
The Los Angeles Police Department just released a video of an incident that happened back in July.
And I think everybody should see this.
Yep.
Because it gives you an idea when people criticize cops and say they're too quick on the trigger, they're overreacting. This really gives you an idea of what real life is like.
Pretty startling. They released it. It happened back in July. Two officers, one of them a woman.
Who was, I guess, a gang specialist. It was in the gang unit and, you know, knew a lot of the people involved.
So the two officers stopped a gang member. Approached the car. Gang member goes and shoots at them.
Not before making small talk like everything's fine.
Yep, take a listen. And there's video with it, too.
Turn off the car.
Huh?
Turn off the car.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good? Haven't seen you in a while. Still on probation?
911, ma'am.
What?
911, I discharged.
You just discharged?
Oh,
9 more months. Okay, I'm going to have you step out of the vehicle. Okay. You don't have anything on you, right? You're good.
Officer.
Shots fired. Shooty's help. Shots fired. Noble, south of Plummer. Are you okay?
All units, officer, need help. Noble, south of Plummer.
Where'd you get hit?
In my left leg.
Okay. You're going to be okay?
My left leg.
And here, you're going to
come over. Oh, my God.
I got you. I got you.
It's burning.
He's down.
It's burning. Just get him.
He's okay.
Get an ambulance.
Give me an LA roll and now for my partner in the leg.
That's the police, man. But it's that, those cops, huh?
But that nice man was so cooperative, making small talk. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 9 more months. I'm keeping it clean. And then...
this is what those officers face every day.
I mean, good Lord. And I do think it would benefit people to just see that video of how things go from seemingly routine. And I mean, I'm watching this, and the way she knows who he is, she knows what he's done, she knows he's on probation. So let's just check, make sure he's not dirty, and we'll be on our way.
These cops face it every day, the danger.
And this guy turns on such a dime.
Yep.
And what you see in the video that you don't get out of the audio is the guy is making a big deal of showing his hands that he doesn't have anything, and at the last possible second, he reaches down, grabs that gun, and in one move, bang, bang.
Mm.
And somehow, he's taken a shot at the cop on the driver's side and manages to shoot her in the leg on the other side of the car before you even know what happened.
That fast.
They had to put it in slow motion before you can really see what happened.
Bill Murray. He's known for crashing weddings, showing up at different places.
Is it considered crashing if you're welcomed as a beloved icon?
You crash it, but then you're welcomed. And that's the whole point. There's a documentary coming out about what Bill Murray does. It's called The Bill Murray Stories. It's a documentary about Bill Murray. It's coming out next month about how he's known for showing up at random events. And yes, as it says here, crashing wedding parties.
And you know what? I think he is brilliant because he's one of the few people that has fun with fame.
Yep. Here's the trailer.
There's always that one person who you want to meet, and you'd be like, this is never going to happen. And then this guy shows up at your door.
I'm bartending outside on the patio, and I get a text message.
We're just about to sit down for dinner. Knock at the door.
I'm a wedding photographer, and I get ready to photograph. And as I look through the lens, I see this guy.
We were having a house party, and I run inside, close the door. I was like, shh, you're not going to believe it. Bill Murray's here.
There are legions of tall tales about Bill that have circulated online throughout the years.
So I look, and it's Bill Murray slapping his belly.
These Bill Murray stories are random interactions with Bill and regular, everyday people.
Bill Murray could just sort of, like, arrive in your life for a few minutes.
Why would such a big celebrity insert himself into these random situations?
I don't think people can figure out why he would do that. It's like, where's Waldo?
This is a search for answers.
Bill was just fine getting lost.
You okay?
Yeah.
I'm Bill, by the way.
He just reveled in not knowing where he was.
I run inside, and Bill is bartending.
He's like a candle when you light it in the room, and all of a sudden the room smells great.
He goes after little moments, charged with meaning.
He marches to his own beat.
Bill is teaching us all how to live.
I want to watch that. That looks like fun. That's a feel-good documentary.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Bill Murray has a career. I think our career and Bill Murray's are pretty close. I think he may have had a 4 or 5 year head start. I'm talking about length of time.
Oh, yeah.
He may have had like a 4 or 5 year head start.
I want to say a good 10 year head start.
Well, you consider Saturday Night Live, what was that, 76 or 75?
Yeah, he came on in it came on in 75. He came on the show as a performer in 76, but he was performing before then as well.
But wasn't famous yet.
Not famous.
So
known, but
you
not
figure
famous.
To 80 is 4 years, and then we come into play shortly thereafter.
Yeah,
so like I said, four
six,
or 5 years.
6 years, yeah, all right.
4 to 6 years.
Six.
But what do you think would happen if you and I started acting like that?
We'd get kicked out, we'd be arrested.
Nobody would know who
and
we
nobody
were.
Nobody would care.
No.
No.
Although that one time that I did walk in the wrong house.
Yeah, they welcomed you.
They did.
Yeah. I was going to Brad's birthday.
That was actually probably as close as I'll ever get to that. And it was the weirdest feeling because you go from someone who's ready to take you down, rightfully so, because you're in their house, to someone going, wait, that's Haney.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Stay, have a beer. Why not? No, I got to get to the party that I'm supposed to be at. But
we were
that was a weird feeling.
We were talking about this yesterday. Songs that, or pop songs that would be inappropriate today. And it's amazing we brought that up, and now they just released a list of them. I've got a few samples that you don't think about.
We're considered elder statesmen, and people do pay attention to what we do.
Remember in the early 70s, Mungo Jerry, in the summertime?
When the weather is hot?
Yeah, part of the line, and you'll hear this. It reads, have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. If her daddy's rich,
take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, then do what you feel.
Yep.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot,
what's wrong with that?
And touch the sky when the weather's fine. You got women, you got women on your mind.
Sexist.
Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. Take her out for a meal.
Yeah.
If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
Do what you want to. Here's the one you played yesterday. Elton John, Island Girl. Black boy want you in his world, Island Girl.
What you wanting with the white man's
Tell
world?
Tell me what you wanting with the white man's world. Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. What, they didn't even bring up? You see your teeth flash?
Yeah, because there's more here. Paul McCartney was 21 when he wrote about a girl who was just 17.
Well, she was just 17. Did you know what I mean?
Stones did a lot of those songs, you know, Brown Sugar, and here's one tonight, and I didn't think about it. They put it on the list, Under My Thumb, which is basically a whole thing about a man controlling a woman.
It's so misogynist.
By calling her a squirming dog.
Under my thumb, the squirming dog who's just had her day.
These songs we grew up with even before. It's inappropriate. It's inappropriate. It's offensive. That squirming dog.
This is all driven by Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, it is.
It is San Francisco trying to impose its will.
Nancy Pelosi and her friend Dianne Feinstein.
They're vampires. We've proven that. And all of these tech companies up there in the Pacific Northwest, they all got rocks in their head, and they don't know what everybody else thinks, and they don't care, because we're all wrong.
Yep. And apparently, we've been wrong for 50-some-odd years here.
Yep. I don't even think they like Ike.
I bet you they don't. If you look at Ike today, you know, the 50s were great. Ike in the White House.
Oh, that's racist.
Oh, yeah, evidently.
Everything is.
Murray City Diner.
And you're wrong.
Yep.
Because you have to have rocks in your head
bringing us
before you're going
to
get along with anybody.
Crap bag. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station. We'd like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
What a truer statement. Let me say something here. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Would you please say, let me say this about that?
Let me say this about that. Is that...
And can I say I'm pleased this punch to be here?
I know. I can see it in your face. Haney and I, and maybe you're tuning in for the first time, maybe you are a regular listener, you know that we've been here for a long time. Haney and I have been in the radio business. First time we went behind a microphone and got paid for it was 36 years ago. We've been here at K-Rock. I'm in my 28th, and Haney's in his 26th year at K-Rock. Okay? And the true enjoyment that we get out of the radio business are the 4 hours that we're on the air. You say to yourself, who wants to do this for 36 years? Well, when we got into the business, it was. It was an art. It was fun. It was creativity. And that's what we love to do.
Keeping the flame alive.
In this building and in the business itself, there are a lot of people in a lot of offices doing what they think is brain surgery. And let's do this, let's do that, let's try this, let's computerize this stuff, let's have meetings and talks about... Look, 4 hours, Haney and I are on the air, and it's the best 4 hours we're going to get all day. Because we're doing what we want. We get to hang out with you guys. And before we come in here, and once we get out of here in this radio business, it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. And you go right down to the basic core of this business. It is a person or people behind a microphone trying to inform and or entertain or do both. And Haney and I have been looking forward to each and every day spending 4 hours with you for the last 36 years. I was talking to my girlfriend last night with all the crapola that comes around in all of this stuff.
You just got to survive it.
You got to survive it. You say to yourself, oh, Stan, Haney, do you think about maybe, calling it a career, retiring? I could do this to the day I drop. But the business itself kind of wears you out a little bit.
Yeah, I can also do this till the day you drop.
Yep. And then that's when you stop.
Doing this, and I think it's vice versa, without somebody to go through it with you, it's too much.
But we so much enjoy the 4 hours. And trust me, over the years, there have been people on the other side of the door, red-faced, ready to go and knock you down a peg.
But we weren't doing anything.
But we weren't doing anything but trying to have fun and entertain and state our opinion. See, here's the other good thing about 4 hours, and you have your own radio show. You can say what's on your mind. The old thing. Well, if that's the way you feel, you should have had your own radio show.
Well, and you know, the thing that they realized about radio early on, and especially after Mr. Orson Welles made history with his particular broadcast, theater of the mind. Because you don't have a visual, you can go many more places.
Yep.
Like, for instance, right now, a little after 3 Eastern time,
mm-hmm.
and most of us are at work. At the very least, most of us are in Florida. But I can do something right now that will take you somewhere. It will be very abrupt.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to help yourself.
Yeah.
But I can take you somewhere completely different.
Please take me somewhere right now.
I've heard from Jon Snow.
This is that Game of Thrones.
I can't believe you don't watch it.
No, I never watched it. My girlfriend will watch it when it's on, because I guess they're coming to their final season. She'll stay up and watch it. I'll go on the computer or something.
I wasn't kidding. Jon Snow spoke today, and the big final season, it's the biggest budget TV show ever.
That's what I'm told.
And in an interview, Jon Snow, they were asking about the end of the Game of Thrones, and Jon Snow made one comment, and it was immediately broadcast worldwide. He said, well, me personally, my favorite TV shows would be The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and The Wire. He said, I don't think anybody was real happy with those endings. I think it'll be similar with our shows.
Oh, you know it will be. You're going to be disappointed because you're so invested into it. You're so invested. Oh, speaking about being invested, well, I should change the word to infested. Cape Coral. Dateline Cape Coral. You got another. You get not that you have the snakes, the monitor lizards, the iguanas. You got something else now, and it's bad.
The famous home of the burrow owl, at least until the monitor lizards moved in.
Here it is, and our friends at NBC2 did a story on this, and they're supplying me with some of the info. And I've seen them on camera. And you people in Cape Coral, be aware. Homeowners living in Cape Coral are a little uneasy after people have spotted dangerous worms in several areas.
What?
Now, hear me out. Citizens living in both southwest and northeast Cape Coral have spotted the New Guinea flatworm in their yards. These worms are very invasive species that can also be dangerous for people to touch.
Now, how did they get here? Were they pets at one point?
Let's all find out together. Dr. Joyce Fassbender.
That's a great name.
Yeah, F-A-S-S-Bender. Fassbender. Joyce Fassbender. Biologist for Florida Gulf Coast University.
And what is their mascot again?
They are the Fighting Nomads.
Okay.
Dr. Fassbender explained the most dangerous part is the parasite some of the worms carry.
Oh, so the worms carry their own worms.
There are very few of them that have the parasite, but you have to eat them to get the parasite.
Well, we're not eating worms, are we?
No. While that may seem small, she said, the trouble people get into with this New Guinea flatworm is when they touch the worms. If you want to dispose of them, they say wear a pair of gloves or use a paper towel. Just avoid touching them. The good doctor, the good professor, recommends if someone wants to kill the creature, and I saw this morning, you want to step on them or you want to break them in half?
Well, it's a natural instinct. They're an enemy.
They can
bite you?
Both sides live. And then you're going to make them have more. They can go and when they're cut in half or stepped on, they can break off into little pieces and create a new worm.
You've only made them stronger.
Yep. So they say if you want to kill them, don't step on them.
Salt them.
Pour boiling water on them. So if you see them, there it is right there.
Why do we have these things?
Dr. Fassbender recommends if someone wants to kill the creature, you should pour boiling water on it. They are an invasive species. They also are a danger to the environment.
Why do we have them?
This is one of the few times I would recommend if you come across one of these worms, you kill it.
But you got to kill it right.
If you do touch one of the New Guinea flatworms, experts urge you to wash your hands right away. It's also important to make sure that you supervise your pets.
How in the world?
Because when they're outside and they see one of these New Guinea flatworms, they can go and start messing around with it, and then they got it on them.
How did Southwest Florida get invaded by an organism from New Guinea?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I just saw the story this morning.
Yep, somebody thought they were cute.
Yep.
Keep them in an aquarium.
You can't touch them because it's going to get on your skin. They got a parasite if you put them in your mouth, and if you step on them, they break apart and make more.
I wish we had been smarter back, you know, pre-1970s, and maybe just said, you're not having that as a pet, because virtually anything that can live on the earth can thrive here.
Yep. Just the perfect amount. We got about just a couple of minutes before we have to take a break. We'll take a couple of your phone calls if you want. Somebody here has been waiting patiently on hold. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Let's find out. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Big. How are you?
What's your first name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
They call me Big Mike.
Hey, Big Mike.
They do.
Yeah, you know who they are, Haney.
All right.
Okay.
If I ask about you down on Mulberry Street, yep, they'll know Big
they'll
Mike.
Know, they'll damn right they'll know BM.
Old time, Big Mike. Hey, you guys can make an old man smile if you could play Good Girls Don't by The Knack sometime.
Why the hell not?
Well, because we got to take a break. But
it's not that long a song.
But I'll promise you we'll play part of it right now. Just if you can give me a minute of it, Haney. Because we got to make room for Karen. Here we go.
She's your adolescent dream.
Yeah, this was the follow-up school
boy
to
stuff.
My Sharona.
Well, second single, same
your
album.
Adolescent dream.
Schoolboy stuff. Sticky sweet romance.
And she makes you want to scream. Wishing you could get inside her pants. So you fantasize away while you're squeezing her. You thought you heard her saying good girls don't. Good girls don't, but she'd be telling you good girls don't, but I do. So you call her on the phone.
We'll be back.
To talk about
memories.
Chance to get Halloween Horror Night tickets coming up next. Are you smarter than Haney? 96K Rock.
Coming home till late.
Good girls don't, I should be telling you good girls don't, but I do.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, ya?
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Everybody, look, there's pictures all around the studio of the damn New Guinea worm.
Ew.
There, I got him on my board up here.
It doesn't belong here.
It doesn't.
But I guess.
Don't touch it. Don't step on it.
I don't know, though. I probably shouldn't because, you know, in our ecosystem, diversity is our strength. And we should respect all worms.
What? Hi, everybody.
Equality for all worms.
Yeah.
as you hear her lovely voice right now, the lovely Karen is here.
That's the sunshine coming in the studio right there.
Little ray of sunshine. Karen's here because we're going to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Six categories. First person to answer all six will be declared the winner. It would be either Haney or our random Stan and Haney listener. If you get
I have nothing to gain from this.
Nothing.
Nope. The listener has everything to gain.
Yeah, you know why? Because if you defeat Haney, you get a pair of tickets to Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
You like spooky things?
I love spooky things, and I've actually have never been to Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, it's amazing.
Can we send her?
And it's Stranger Things this year, isn't it? I love
I heard that in the promo.
Yeah.
Can we make that happen?
Ooh. Okay, now here's... if it was me or if it was
you... had the power.
I'd say absolutely. But do you remember what I was talking about earlier today?
Do we have any influence around here?
No, it's gone. It's all gone. A, we never really had any, but we had the illusion
of... She's such a nice girl. She works very hard.
And she deserves something like that. Now, I don't know how it works in the business office. I know in the sales department, the salespeople, if they sell something, they get nice little trips and vacations. And do you guys get any of that?
No, not really. I mean...
I would love to make that happen for you. I don't know if I can.
They ever give you like a dinner or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, like they'll give us things every now and then.
Okay.
I mean, Stan, they're nice to us.
Who would we have to lean on to make that happen for her?
Her last name is Beasley. She's blonde
and super sweet.
Oh, she's very nice.
Yes,
very nice.
It probably just hasn't occurred to her
that maybe Karen would like to, you know, have a
well,
nice...
Well, Karen can't just go and ask for it.
I'll ask. Aww. All right? I'll ask.
Stan is not afraid to ask for anything.
I'll ask for anything. I'm not afraid to ask. I'll ask.
That's like one of his main philosophies.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They say no.
They say no.
And you'd be surprised what he gets away with.
Hmm.
Did that just happen? Yeah. Well, how'd you get that?
I asked.
I told him I wanted it.
I asked for it. We're going to get a random Stan and Haney listener. First one to all six will get the tickets to Halloween Horror Nights.
How come I didn't get one? You didn't ask.
That's right. You answer correctly, you'll hear this. Incorrectly. Taking too long. You lose. Six categories. I only ask that you have not won anything from K-Rock in the last 30 days. And that you've never played this game before because so many people want to play this game and have a shot at it. It's for Halloween Horror Nights. Karen here will be your lifeline.
Yes.
For one category of your choosing. You must say, I'd like to use my lifeline before we ask the question. Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you. Can try it. Stan's got prizes, yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy.
It's hard work.
Stan's trick.
Nothing trick.
What a f***ing jerk.
All legitimate.
All those prizes, yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant.
I'm the host.
I'm the one who knows the f***ing most.
True.
If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius.
You're a slob.
I must beat you.
That's
my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
277-9600. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. I'm going to take a random caller. That does not necessarily mean the first call that I pick up. If I notice anything that's not right, that's my decision. I'll go to the next caller. All right? Until I find the one that's going to just, it could be a phone connection. It could be an attitude. Could be a little bit of anything.
You know, I'm not smarter than everybody, but we're looking at a lot of pictures of people preparing for this storm up in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Someone, because they were showing people doing this, might want to explain to them that you don't want to fill up sandbags using the sand dune.
They're there for a reason, to stop what's coming at you.
Yeah.
From the sand. Karen?
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. Let's get a random Stan and Haney listener to go head-to-head with Mark Haney. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brian.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
Have you won anything from us in the last 30 days, Brian?
I did, but it was canceled. It was the wrestling tickets.
All right. Have you played this game?
No.
All right, Brian. You're gonna get a shot at it. Now, Brian, okay. Didn't somebody tell you? Now, I can't say that you're gonna play yet.
Okay.
Didn't somebody tell you when the wrestling got canceled?
I think you've got a door ajar.
Yeah, that you would get a replacement prize for that.
I called and they said that they didn't know.
Well, I can't let you go because if you have won a prize, yeah. You're entitled to a replacement prize, and so. Maybe after the decision's made and you want to play later on, you can, but not now. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Matthew.
Matthew, where are you calling me from? Your car?
Yeah.
No, the quality is not good. Will everybody verify that the quality was not good with that one?
No.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Clark. How are you?
No.
He's in a cave somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, Jacob.
Jacob, have you won anything from us in the last 30 days, Jacob?
No, sir.
Have you played this game before, Jacob?
Just on the radio.
All right, Jacob. You're in. Say hi to Karen. She's your lifeline.
How you doing?
Good, Jacob. Good luck.
All right. The categories, geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. Just remember, if either one of you can't answer the question and the opponent has the category open, they can steal. Haney, we'll begin with you. Pick a category.
Geography.
Haney, the series of volcanoes known as the Ring of Fire surround what ocean?
Pacific.
You are correct. The Pacific Ocean. Jacob, category?
Geography
as well. In what city, Jacob, can you climb the Spanish Steps? In what city, Jacob, can you climb the Spanish Steps?
Is that Veracruz, Mexico?
Incorrect. I did it. Rome. For some reason, the Spanish Steps are in Rome. Haney, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
History.
Haney, what former shipyard worker was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1983?
Boutros Ghali.
That is incorrect. You can steal, Jacob.
What was the question again?
What former shipyard worker was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1983?
Jason Gala.
No.
I needed a better hint than that.
Lech Walesa, the Polish president.
Yeah, if I'd had a better hint, then, you know, like maybe he founded a union.
He was president in Poland 1990-1995. Jacob, you still have control. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's do entertainment.
Entertainment. What did the American Film Institute name as the best American movie of all time?
Forrest Gump.
What? Say that again?
What movie?
He said Forrest Gump.
Oh, Forrest Gump. That's incorrect. Haney, you can steal and gain control.
Gone with the Wind?
Incorrect.
I think it sounds correct.
Anybody?
The Godfather.
No? Citizen Kane. Haney, you still have control, though. Entertainment, history, arts,
I think
and literature.
Plenty of people that would argue it's Gone with the Wind.
Look, that's what they awarded. Science and nature,
like
sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure.
What athletes are you watching if you are at a PBR event?
Well, you're watching professional bull riders.
You are correct. Oh, yeah. It is bull riders.
You like that stuff?
I've been to one.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. It was pretty cool.
I have never been to one. I've never been to one. Jacob, category?
Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure. Jacob, who is the only athlete to have played in both the National Hockey League and Major League Baseball?
Wayne Gretzky.
Incorrect. Incorrect. His name is Jim Riley. He played hockey for the Red Wings and Chicago Blackhawks, baseball for St. Louis and Washington.
Now, did he? So, was it more than a cup of coffee in either one?
I don't know. I don't know. It didn't specify.
Because I think Dion played every professional sport there is.
Well, he played football and baseball.
I think he was also a professional lacrosse player.
Might have been. No, that was Jim Brown.
Oh.
Haney, category, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature.
Science.
Science! La, da, da. Let me see. Haney, in computing, a joint photographic experts group is more commonly known
as JPEG.
JPEG. Correct. All right, Jacob, you got to get on the board. You have Karen as a lifeline. Please do some catching up here. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. It's wide open.
Arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. All right, Jacob, what author wrote the novels that the films The Talented Mr. Ripley and Strangers on a Train were based on?
Stephen King.
Incorrect. Haney, you can steal.
I don't even have a guess.
Patricia Highsmith.
Means nothing to me.
Me too. Are you all right, Jacob?
Yes, I'm fine.
All right, just checking.
Quick recovery,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, very good. Haney, entertainment, history, arts, and literature.
Well, let's continue to flounder with arts and literature.
All right. Haney, who created the wedding day obsessed character Miss Havisham?
Well, that would be Barbara Cortland.
That is incorrect.
But it sounded good, didn't it?
Sure did. You can steal, Jacob.
I wouldn't even have an answer for that one.
The answer? Charles Dickens.
What?
In Great Expectations. Jacob, any category you want, it's wide open, and Karen's a lifeline for you.
Let's do geography.
Geography. What in geography, Jacob, what nation was identified as a cheating culture in a 2004 book?
Russia.
Incorrect.
Russia.
Haney already has the category. Anybody?
A cheating culture?
Yes. What nation was identified as a cheating culture in a 2004 book?
China.
Nope. The United States.
That's not true.
The book is entitled The Cheating Culture, Why More Americans Are Doing Wrong to Get Ahead. Haney, you
I
have control.
That.
Entertainment, history, arts, and literature.
I would prefer ladies' choice.
All right. Karen, entertainment, history, arts, and literature.
Entertainment, please.
In the entertainment film.
The entertainment film.
The entertainment category.
You were on autopilot
for a second. Karen.
Yes.
What affliction does Kermit the Frog suffer from in the movie The Muppets Take Manhattan? He suffers from an affliction. Look at Junior knows this one. An affliction. He's got something's wrong with him in The Muppets Take Manhattan, that Kermit. What could it be?
He can't drive.
Incorrect. You can steal, Jacob.
Kermit. Narcolepsy.
No, narcolepsy. Are you taking the, well, you shouldn't take it seriously. You're getting your ass beat. It is amnesia. Amnesia. You have control, Jacob. Anything?
I thought he blamed everything on being green.
Yeah, well, in the other things. You're wide open. Take a category.
I'll do my lifeline.
Karen, what would you like?
Let's stick to entertainment.
It's wide open here. All right, Karen.
Yes.
Entertainment. What Beatle wrote the song and sang the song, Here Comes the Sun? What Beatle wrote and also sang the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun?
John Lennon?
Incorrect. Haney, you can steal.
George Harrison.
Correct.
They call him the Quiet Beatle.
Haney, you have control. Both of you have used your lifelines. Haney, history, arts, and literature.
Let's continue floundering along with arts and literature. All
right. Haney, in arts and literature, what symbol takes its name from the Greek for little star? Little star. What symbol? There's a symbol that takes its name from the Greek for little star.
Asterisk?
You are correct. Asterisk. Yep.
Unbelievable.
That's kind of demoralizing.
He's amazing,
isn't he?
Jacob,
that wasn't fair. I shouldn't have done that.
Wide open, Jacob. Please, I want to see you get on the board.
Sports and literature.
Sports and leisure. La, da, da. Let's see. All right. This is in the leisure category in sports and leisure, Jacob. How much butter goes into a traditional pound cake? How much butter goes into a traditional pound cake?
A cup of butter.
You just said a cup of butter?
Yeah, a thick cupper.
Okay. How much butter goes into a traditional pound cake? I have made the prediction that you're not going to get a single one right, because in a traditional pound cake, and I was trying to do it for you, Jacob, a pound. Haney, you are at match point. If you get this correct, you will win. If you get it wrong, Jacob can steal and... Highly doubtful that he'll get the...
If I get it right, it would be a merciful thing.
Yes. Stop the bleeding.
Stuff me and melt me.
Easy there, fella.
Yeah, easy. All right, put your thinking cap on this one, Haney. As in order as they came, what is the 48th U.S. state? What is the 48th U.S. state? The 48th U.S. state.
That's tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
This should be multiple choice.
I don't know if you... Are you making the rules here?
Hey!
Oh, I would love it if it was multiple choice. I agree with you, Karen.
What state is our 48th state? The last one to come into the Union when we had the Continental 48.
Oh, jeez. Washington.
Incorrect. You can steal, Jacob, if you get it right.
Did you say Washington?
Yes.
I want to say Arizona.
You are absolutely correct. It is Arizona. It became a state in 1912, the last of the lower 48. You are
doesn't get a lot of press because Alaska and Hawaii are sexy.
Yep. You're on the board, Jacob, and you have control. Geography, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Did you look that up or did you know that?
Yeah, did you know that or did you look it up?
Honestly, that was wild guess.
Okay, wild guess.
Well done.
Well done. What would you like, Jacob?
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Well, it's another Beatle question, believe it or not. What is Beatle Ringo Starr's birth name? Ringo Starr is not his real name. His real name is what, Jacob? 3 seconds.
Right.
Where's my 3 seconds?
I don't know.
You don't? Anybody?
Yeah, that's easy.
Well, go ahead.
Richard Starkey.
Correct, Richard Starkey. Haney, match point again in history. It's a picture. I can't use that.
Was it a picture of a boy?
It was not a picture of a boy.
Oh, just curious.
Haney, who is known as the Moses of her people for escorting more than 300 slaves to freedom?
Harriet Tubman?
You are absolutely correct. Harriet Tubman. And you are a winner, Haney. Shockingly, 6-1.
Oh, Jacob.
He got one.
Yeah, he did. He was on the board.
And he stole it.
Yep, and you were not closed out. However, Jacob, you did not win the Universal Halloween Horror Nights, but you can get them if you say something to my friend Haney over here.
Absolutely. Haney, you're way smarter than me.
Probably not. You're probably good at stuff.
Jacob, you got the tickets. I'm going to send you over to Junior, and he's going to tell you how to get your Halloween Horror Nights, okay?
Thanks so much, guys.
You betcha, buddy. Hold on. Good effort.
Yes.
Is it a good effort?
A for
he
effort.
Guessed.
I mean,
A for...
A
that was
for
a good
effort.
Guess.
It was a guess.
And he
even
like,
a blind hog will find an acorn.
Well, like
again.
She said, he stole that from me. I was impressed by that one.
As always, Karen, thank you for brightening up a room. We just love it when you're here.
I love being here. Thank you for having me.
Let's put a lid on this, Haney.
You are stupid. I am smart. Know your role and simply play your part. I'm as shrewd can be. No one f***s with
here comes, here comes.
Take your prizes, hat in hand. Now you finally start to understand. Nothing personal, that's just me. You've been schooled by Mark Haney.
Next on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. 2 decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. I have Junior working on this. We broke the story, and we saw it this morning on NBC2 about this New Guinea flatworm, which is an invasive species. People are seeing it up in the Cape on their sidewalks, in their lawns. And they're saying it's a dangerous thing. You're not supposed to touch it. It carries a parasite that could hurt your pets. They say don't step on it because when it breaks apart, it turns into more of these New Guinea worms. And we don't know where it came from or anything. We're trying to get an expert on to inform and educate us on the New Guinea flatworm now being seen in Cape Coral. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Our first look.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
We just got something about 30 minutes ago from a road watcher. A wreck, Colonial at Forum Boulevard. They say it's affecting the eastbound lane. I'm sure crews are clearing, and hopefully it's in the clearing stations now. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's got today's headlines right in front of him. Let's find out what's coming up.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right. By the way, Junior, read that text and go find our engineer.
It's happened again?
It's happened again. And now we're depending on our audience to tell us.
Well, speaking of things you didn't know, I wasn't aware of this. It's a big day today.
It is?
It is National Video Games Day.
Oh, what do you get for free if you're like your member of your video world?
No, no, no. That doesn't happen ever. No. Whoop-dee-doo. We love our surveys, don't we?
I like surveys.
This is an interesting one. And it's something I've never really thought about. I don't know if you have. Could you date seriously someone who is a super fan of a rival sports team?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Someone who'd be rooting against your guys.
I've done it. I usually convert them, but I've done it.
Well, that's misogynistic.
I know. Well, even my ex-wife was a Miami Dolphins fan, and there were arguments because I was a Giants fan.
You know, she and I have always gotten along so well.
I know it.
You know, we were nice enough to take you to the Dolphins game and get you smoking again.
Right. Right. I had quit for like a year.
Yep. Crack pipe vending machines are a thing now.
Yep.
A man in Canada met a pretty girl named Nicole at a bar last week. And I guess she gave him her number, but he wrote it down wrong. He became obsessed, went down the rabbit hole, and began emailing every woman he could find in the area named Nicole.
That's creepy. That's sick.
He emailed 246 Nicoles.
Yep, and 245 of them were harassed.
Well, we don't know that it wasn't 246. That doesn't mean he got her.
Oh, that's true. We'll find out in less than an hour.
And finally, Dateline Thompson, Connecticut.
I do not know where that is.
Well, the story is coming to us from the newsroom of the Norwich Bulletin.
All right, that's close to the Rhode Island border.
A fake cop offers to clear an arrest in exchange for beers and a shrimp cocktail.
Hey, fair enough.
These stories are quite a bargain.
Yeah.
Coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. It's important each and every day that we have a little laughter. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Season 35 of Jeopardy got underway this week. If you tune in, you'll see Alex Trebek has let himself go and is now sporting a beard.
Oh, brother. Anything to bring up a topic of conversation, because that show's been around for so long, and Trebek needs to retire.
He knows this.
He knows that. You know what? A gentleman by the name, look him up. A gentleman by the name of Art Fleming knew when to get out of hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah, those were the good old days when game show hosts had proper game show host names like Art or Van or Wink.
Yep. Yep.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Jeopardy categories you'll never see.
Top Jeopardy categories you'll never see.
Words that rhyme with punt. Oh. affordable places to live in California.
I love it.
Other names for Asians.
Oh, shut up! I'll bet you somehow with the new payroll system we got here, his will go right through smooth.
Oh, yeah. He'll get a raise. And you know, if there was a glitch like that, he'd go on until they caught it.
Yep. No questions asked.
Yep.
For years.
Well, it's happened before.
Yep.
And it ended up being your money.
And Zito's. Let me tell you something. He took Dave the Waterman, took a remote from Zito, and took a remote from me, kept the money, spent it, and couldn't understand why he was being penalized in his pay.
Dude.
And I said, you owe me a few $100.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you went and got paid for my remote that I did.
Well, they put it in my check, dude. Top Jeopardy categories you'll never see. Drugs Charlie Sheen hasn't tried. Women Mike Pence has groped. Valuable life lessons from Real Housewives.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
History of man buns. Things Steve Bannon calls minorities. Stuff women should fetch for you from the refrigerator.
Oh, God.
Reasonably priced Apple products. Objects that have been in Stormy Daniels.
Oh!
Les Moonves pickup lines. And finally, the very top Jeopardy category you'll never see.
Yes.
Jeopardy contestants who look like they'd be fun to party with.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Well, let's find a little bit more out about our contestant, Paul. You have $400, and I understand you enjoy plants.
Yeah.
Yes, I have azaleas. They're my babies, and... You know, you have to rotate the soil, and that's wonderful, wonderful.
There, Steve, he has a rock collection.
Boy, Paul has quite the green thumb. That's a fork.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Freddy, 4 o'clock fluffer time. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
You got to use your real last name.
What the? Ahoy. At StanandHaney.com.
What shows up here, your name is Stan Haney.
Yep. This is from Georgie. George writes, Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Heard you talking about Burt Reynolds. When I came down to Naples, I drove the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. The black car with the eagle on the hood.
What a beauty.
I sold it a few years later, but it was the duplicate of the Burt Reynolds car.
That was my dream.
That Trans Am, which everybody knows. Now here's because Haney had the Camaro. You had your Trans Am, GM product. The one below it was the Firebird. And the Firebird was a carbon copy of the Camaro. They were the same platform, GM.
Yeah, but then you get another dealership.
Yeah.
Because it's a Pontiac. Yeah,
absolutely. Remembering 9/11.
How many in our generation dreamed of a black Trans Am just like that with the big gold eagle on it?
So many people. Because your Pontiac dealerships would get so many Trans Ams to sell on the lot. We're not even talking the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. They had them in different colors and different styles. And it was there was a dream time of going on the lot. You're at the Chevy dealership, you had the Camaro out there. You were at the Pontiac dealership, you had the Firebird and the Trans Am out there. And when we were 16, 17, 18 years old, we couldn't afford those.
Oh.
Now, keep in mind.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. They were, a good $12,000.
$12,000 car.
Yeah. Haney was fortunate enough to have a Camaro. My first car was a 1968 Camaro.
We are so lucky that we got to experience it. Granted, it was the very tail end.
Yep.
But we got to drive true muscle cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
And they were gone so quick.
Yep. That style of car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know they did it with the Mustang before they changed, but they were pony cars, is what they called them. Camaro and your Mustangs and your Firebirds. And then they kind of evolved into these sleek hot rods. Loved them. remembering 9/11. Nobody left a name with this one. Guys, I remember being in the Marine Corps and getting ready for our six-month tour in the Mediterranean when 9/11 happened. Two things went through my head at that time. The first one was shock and confusion. The second thing that went through my head, and it might seem heartless now, but a lot of us were pissed off because now, instead of 6 months of hitting up countries and getting drunk in them, we were now going to go to some S-hole in the desert.
Mm-hmm. No, that's reality.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus. Mm.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I really enjoyed the movie quiz yesterday. Now, I think in one movie, either Gator or White Lightning, that Jerry Reed played the bad guy. Is that correct? You are. And that was the movie I kept trying to tell you. Jerry Reed, both White Lightning and Gator were preceded Smokey and the Bandit. But Jerry Reed was popping up in Burt Reynolds' films, as well as Ned Beatty was in a lot of his films. Jerry Reed, the snowman, played one of the best bad guys in the movie Gator. I urge everybody, now that was the sequel to White Lightning. Watch White Lightning, then watch Gator. And you will see the incarnation of what later became Smokey and the Bandit. Because they're good old boy films. Burt Reynolds is driving fast cars, and it's great.
And Jerry Reed, going all the way up to Happy Gilmore, he just had such a natural presence.
Natural.
And it drew you right in.
Yep. It was pretty funny, guys, with the Scooby-Doo song. It also got me to thinking about other cartoon songs like the Flintstones, the Jetsons, the Looney Tunes. Hell, I remember the theme from Mighty Mouse. I couldn't get them out of my head all last night. I would like to start a channel for all of the shows that today would be labeled offensive in today's effed up society. I came up with all kinds of shows that you could use. Not only TV, but hundreds of movies. Can you imagine a movie like Blazing Saddles being made today? That will never happen. Maybe that's what we need, more laughter.
Oh, yeah. Comedy is in rough, rough shape.
But unfortunately, we have become hypersensitive to just ordinary things.
No, we haven't. Certain people have.
And they're the squeaky wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, to Big Mouth Maxine, shut the hell up. What a moron. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Now, yeah, I think really... This is all of this where, abolish law enforcement, no borders. This stuff is extreme craziness.
Oh, it is extreme.
That would not be tolerated. And what has changed is the tech companies, the social media companies are all based on the West Coast, where stuff that is normal to them is crazy to us.
Out there.
But they have an outsized voice. And if they don't like what you're saying, they'll cut you off.
Shut you down. Speaking of a voice, we're going to try to give Cape Coral a voice. Junior has given me a thumbs up. We do have some type of expert that can tell us about the New Guinea flatworm that is affecting portions of Cape Coral. Watch out. Don't touch it. It can hurt you. We'll talk to whoever we have. I don't know. I don't even know the guy's name yet. Coming up, we're Stan and Haney.
Every once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. I'll tell you, he's new around here, but Junior, our producer, came through for us. We got an expert on this New Guinea flatworm. I'll be introducing him to you momentarily. But first, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, we got a few things on the board. This is in North Fort Myers. We got a crash, Del Prado Boulevard North and North Tamiami Trail. Then we move down to Fort Myers, crash, South Point Boulevard at College Parkway, right by the Burger King. And one more for you. It's in Estero. Crash, South Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Been telling you about this. This is your opportunity to get some tickets to go see Skindred for a rare U.S. appearance. Going to happen on the 27th. That's a Thursday at the Buddha in Fort Myers. Now, if you want advance tickets, they're $5. And there is also a limited number of VIP tickets that are available for $25. It's going to be September 27th at the Buddha. It's Skindred. You can purchase tickets now on our Facebook page. We did the story for you earlier today. Saw this on the local morning news this morning. They're telling people in areas of Cape Coral to be aware of an invasive worm. It's called the New Guinea flatworm. And we're being told that it's an invasive species of worm, dangerous to touch. You don't want to step on it because it'll multiply and spread. It carries a parasite. It's going to be dangerous to your pets if they get a hold of it. And I wanted, because we don't know where it came from, how it got here. And so I asked Junior to get us somebody with knowledge of this, and I'd like to bring on this gentleman. He's a professor at the University of America's El Salvador. He is Dr. Edgar Ejaculante, and he joins us now. Dr. Ejaculante, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you, doctor. Professor at the University of America's El Salvador. And I'm told you do know something, or you have heard of this New Guinea flatworm. Explain, Dr. Ejaculante.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I've never done, in my line of work, it's usually not something anyone particularly interested in, so I've bear with me. This is my first time.
Understood, Professor. We just got word of this. Nobody has ever heard of this before showing up in our area. What do we know about the New Guinea flatworm?
Well, it's very bad news for the state of Florida. It's found around the world, mainly in what we like to call S-hole countries.
Okay, yeah.
It's got no business being in the United States at all. And it just invaded the state of Florida in the past year.
Okay.
Now, it has been seen in Hawaii, but this is a first. And it's believed that it's made its way into Florida now, and it is just this is not good news. I can tell you that.
Now,
it's nothing to mess with.
I'm told, Professor, that some of our texters that texted us to the station say that this worm possibly could have entered the state of Florida, particularly in Cape Coral, through potted plants. It was in the soil. People go and take the plant out. They plant it into the ground. And lo and behold, we've got this invasive worm, the New Guinea flatworm. Is that how it got to, the United States, primarily mainland United States, and now here in Florida?
Well, that's a common myth.
It is.
That they like to tell. As you know, this is a New Guinea worm, and New Guinea is in an area of the world that one would associate with Australia and New Zealand. And what happened with Australia being a penal colony of the British?
Right, which it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Well, we're trying to get to, well, where did this come from?
I want to know how it got to the United States, Professor. I know that it might be in other countries. I know that it might be in Hawaii, but how did it get here?
Well, what I've learned, and you're not going to see this in any textbook unless I write one.
Mm-hmm. Have you written any?
No, but it seems as if, based on your phone call, there's some interest now.
Yeah.
Perhaps I will.
Yeah, that's a good start. Get published, you know. I thought all professors had to get published part of their, becoming a professor. I see you're at the University of America's El Salvador. You don't carry an accent. Are you an American who went to the University of America's in El Salvador to get your degree, Professor?
Yes, I attended the university.
Okay, is there an actual campus or is it online?
It's a community, educational community without walls.
Okay, gotcha. Again, we're talking to Professor Dr. Edgar Ejaculante.
And you are correct. I guess I have been published.
To be a professor.
But being published in the world of academia, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's all a big circle jerk. Nobody reads it.
I understand.
It's not like being published where someone would read it.
Sure, I understand it. Well, I would assume that some of your colleagues would have to read because you would have to have done some kind of research or come up with some kind of thesis or experiment.
That's a misconception. As I explained, it's all a big circle jerk.
Okay.
So
okay.
They send me their papers, and I ask them, what do you want me to say about it?
Okay, very good. Let's talk about this New Guinea flatworm. I am told that we got all the warnings. Don't touch it. Do not step on it, that it will go and multiply.
Well, you said you said you wanted to know how it got here.
Well, you haven't told me yet. I'm believing what our textures say, that it's coming in potted plants.
This worm didn't exist until Australia was colonized as a penile colony.
Penal. Not penile. Penal colony.
Pardon me.
It's quite all right, Professor. You're the one with the education, not me.
Well, what we've learned is that this worm in its present form didn't exist until the white man arrived, and evidently there was some royal blood involved.
Royal blood? We're talking about a flatworm.
And it could have been a bastard child of royalty. We don't know, but it does require royal blood. And that's what brings it its toxicity. It gets up in a woman's hoo-ha, and then when it comes back out, it's the goony goo-goo. And now, as to how this got to Florida, it requires royal blood.
To get to Florida.
Yes, and we do have royal blood in Florida in the form of the Markle family. Samantha Markle lives in the Ocala area. Mm-hmm. We have reason to believe that Thomas Markle may have defecated in the state once or twice.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, well, what's more ridiculous than a worm that can do so much damage?
Now, they also say,
that's what we believe, because they have blood going back to Robert the Bruce of Scotland, and also they're related to Piers Morgan.
That's great. And it's because of royal blood that the New Guinea flatworm?
Yes, that's how they came in to be so dangerous. Now, they are just filthy creatures.
Okay. How are they dangerous then? What do I not know about these worms that I'm being told? You said dangerous, filthy creatures. I'm told they carry a parasite.
And it's in multiple ways. They are dangerous all the way around. As you said, just touching them, they have toxic slime.
Yes.
Coating their body.
Yes.
Now, if you want to know this filthy, evil creature, a dark, slender body with a distinct orange or tan-colored stripe down its back.
Where are you seeing that? Yeah, okay, yes, I do see in the picture. It's like a tan stripe down its back. You did get a doctorate, did you not, Dr. Jackalante?
I absolutely did.
Okay.
Late in life.
Right. When did you finally get doctor put in front of your name? By the way, Dr. Edgar Ejaculante, University of America's El Salvador. Late in life, university without walls.
Yes, 2014.
Yes. Did you have a master's or bachelor's degree before you got this doctorate?
No, I hung drywall. But my body just couldn't do it anymore. I figured, well, I may as well become a professor.
Okay. And you did...
I took a personality assessment online, and that's what it suggested I was most suited for.
Okay. Doctor, we have just a few minutes left with you. I would like you, being that you're the expert, you're the one with the knowledge, the education, and the expertise...
Yes.
To tell us, what are the things that we need to be aware of, residents of Cape Coral? What do we need to be aware of? What? Give me some do's and don'ts.
Well, first you need to understand the danger. This worm transmits the deadly rat lungworm parasite, which leads to a disease that can then in turn cause you meningitis. And it can also lead to yeast infections in women.
Right. Now, because of the whole hoo-ha thing.
Now, this is all crazy, but the rats defecate, then the snails eat that, and then the flatworm eats the snails.
Where do you get this information from? It came from potted plants and is getting in the soil here now. You're not supposed to step on them.
God forbid you get a rodent infestation in your house. They chew through the AC vents, and then they're just crapping in the vents. And then that gets into the air particles. They get on the fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And you better keep an eye on your kids and pets. Because, you know, they'll want to be playing with it and whatnot. And then all you get, all you got to do is touch one of the eggs of these demon spawn, and you're in deep.
Yeah, easy.
And they like to hide in areas with lots of moisture, like your air conditioner, your sprinklers, your hoses. We're all doomed because you can't kill him because they're asexual. If you cut them up, you just made more.
Yes, I understand that.
And naturally, you'll have the urge to want to kill the thing, but then you realize, I can't touch it. Well, let's pour some bleach or pesticide on it. Yeah. It just laughs at stuff like that. Uh-huh. The only way you can do it is boil it.
You're absolutely right. That's what our local professors here at Florida Gulf Coast University. You've heard of Florida Gulf Coast University, have you not, Dr. Jaculante?
Weren't they in the basketball tournament? Yeah,
you got it. They made a few years back. They made the Sweet 16.
Yes, I remember. Drunk City was the name.
Dunk City. One last thing I want to ask you, Doctor, is with these worms.
Keep in mind, these things are asexual. They bang themselves.
I didn't want to even bother asking him the last question. So that's great. Where do you find him, Junior? We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry. Just try not to focus on the pain. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. You know, I'm looking at the latest from the weather people with about this Florence. It's turning into a mush. They say it's now got a possibility of going a little bit south and going in by like Savannah, Georgia at a Category 3. They say that because the high pressure's gone, it's going to sit off on the coast and just dump a ton of rain. But they had this thing possibly up to a Category 5 in the Carolinas. Now they're saying they're having the warnings come up all the way down to Savannah, Georgia, where it looks like it blobs out and then goes a little bit south. They don't know what this storm's going to do. We know this from experience because we're experts of hurricanes down here. You don't know what this thing is going to do when it's 3 days out and swirling around. Nope. You don't know until the thing comes right up on you.
Well, I mean, it's only been a year since Irma, and I remember it was like, a week out before it got here, and my mom was constantly, because she was watching all this stuff and getting all worked up over it, which, I mean, yeah, there's a storm coming, there's reason to be concerned, but they take it to such a level, and you're right, it changes all the time.
Yeah, it's changing directions now. They say the high pressure that was driving it has moved away. There's nothing to guide it anymore.
Well, at one point, Irma was headed here, headed there. It's going to hit Miami. No, it's going to, it looks like it's taking a northern turn. It's going to hit Daytona. No, it could go in the Gulf. No, it was coming right for us. Button hook.
Yeah, but, you know, a year later, and I'm looking at my Facebook posts from a year ago, and the one that is so amazing is they took a satellite picture of the state of Florida the day after Irma, and there were so many people without power. The aerial photograph of night of the state of Florida, how many places were just dark? There was
you remember
nothing.
That every day we were looking at the county by county numbers from FPL. And the storm was just so big, we'd never had one that affected the whole state before.
Yep, went straight up. Straight up through the state of Florida.
And, you know, we got hit with the eye, but it was so unpredictable how bad things would be anywhere. There were bad things happening across the entire state of Florida.
Now, I know that, you know, with the coastline of the Carolinas and the islands that they have out there, and we were talking how the Eye of Irma came right up the straight up the middle of the state, and had they said, had it been just a little bit farther offshore, then the really bad flooding would have occurred and more damage, that it was kind of a almost a blessing that the eye was going up the center of the state. Mm. You don't know. We're looking at the grid right now, and they got Savannah, Georgia, under that cone now, where it was supposed to go and zip right up through the Carolinas into Virginia. You don't know.
Well, this one is another big one, meaning size-wise, yeah. And you know the things that that can affect it change day to day.
Yep.
But man. Do the Stan and Haney family in that area.
We got a lot of people in that area that listen to this show.
We're praying for you. We're doing our best to look out for you. If anybody knows what it's like, we do. I was very proud to see that already our energy people are
heading up there,
pre-positioning themselves, yep. Because they know. And we had a lot of help getting the lights turned on here.
Yep. So, our thoughts. And it looks like now it's going down to a Category 3. And it's with so much, it's about the flooding. It's about the water levels.
No, Stan, it's about animals.
Oh, for the love of...
You know what I saw?
No, what?
Wild horses. They want him to save the wild horses. I didn't even know wild horses lived on the Outer Banks, but they do.
Yeah, majestic creatures.
And then it had to be explained to the animal lovers, we would do more harm trying to help them than to leave them alone.
Yep. Thank you, Annie. Let's start in Alva. There's a crash, North River Road, 17,000 block. You're out there, you know about it. North Fort Myers crash, Del Prado Boulevard North and North Tamiami Trail. Fort Myers crash, Lee Road and Alico Road. And one more for you, still working this one. Fort Myers crash, South Point Boulevard and College Parkway, right by the Burger King. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is Eyewitness News with Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian.
I'm Gary King.
And the Eyewitness News team.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, September 12th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for some things you didn't know.
All right.
There is something going on, something strange going on in New Mexico. And a lot of
stuff strange goes on there.
Nobody knows what it is.
What is it?
What we do know is that in the tiny town of Sunspot, New Mexico, that is the location of the Dunn Solar Telescope at the Sunspot Solar Observatory. FBI agents showed up there on Friday, abruptly shut down the facility, and evacuated the local area, including the local post office. The local sheriff said there were Black Hawk helicopters, a bunch of people around antennas, work crews on towers, but nobody would tell us anything. I don't know why the FBI would get involved so quick and not tell us anything, because the FBI did request his assistance with the evacuation, but wouldn't explain anything at all. They won't say a word. Now, 5 days later, the entire facility is closed until further notice. It is a temporary evacuation, according to a spokesperson, but they will give no further details. Now, there has been a moderate solar event, but we don't know if that has anything to do with it. But, yeah, there's an observatory. The FBI shows up. Black helicopters.
Yep.
Shut it down.
Yep.
Everybody has to leave.
Yep.
We can't tell you why. They will say, security issue.
Right. They know what's best for us.
Thank God for the deep state. They always got our back, don't they? Whether we need to take down another country in the Middle East. Or,
it's for our best.
Or clean our own house and get rid of this Trump character. Thank God for the deep state. Because mm-hmm. they know we can't handle it. Don't tell us. Why do we call big movies blockbusters?
I have no idea. But when you say blockbuster, you know it's big.
Yeah. Yeah. Chain of video stores, too.
Yeah.
Pretty popular name. Blockbuster. Well, we call your big movies blockbusters because big bombs from World War II were called blockbusters. And over time, the word evolved to describe anything on a massive scale.
Sounds legitimate.
For a teenage boy, National Geographic serves a very specific purpose.
Nudes. Come on. Admit it. Nudes.
National Geographic published a picture of its first nude African woman in 1896.
Wow. And see, nobody raised an eyebrow because it's education. It's National Geographic.
But they didn't think a lot of it because, you know, they scientific mind.
Science, yeah.
Perfectly legitimate. But they noticed that it led to a huge spike in subscribers, so they decided to make it a regular feature.
Yeah, word got around. Topless woman.
When I say Yoda, you have an image in your mind.
Ah!
He is the Master Jedi.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
is he.
Yeah, see, you're kind of a Yoda expert now that you've become a Warzy.
Yeah.
In George Lucas's early drafts of The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda was not called Yoda.
What was he called?
Buffy.
What?
I don't think it would have worked.
Jeez.
The Jedi Master.
Yeah.
Buffy.
Yeah, Buffy.
Yeah, this is one of those little scraps of information that will enable you to one day go, not necessarily. Yeah, you won't make friends with this type of information because nobody wants to hear it. Nearly all the dinosaurs featured in Jurassic Park actually lived in the Cretaceous period and were not alive during the Jurassic period.
That's not necessarily.
What the hell?
Oh, geez.
You know what? If you're one of those people, shut up.
Not necessarily. That may be very well. You may have your degree, but not necessarily.
Shut up.
Not necessarily.
Oh, God.
Today is National Video Games Day.
Yay!
And a new survey asked people to name the best video game franchise of all time.
Zelda!
And there was a clear winner.
Mario!
We have the top 10.
All right.
Coming in at number 10, Crash Bandicoot, 7%.
Never, don't even know what it is.
Coming in at number 9, full disclosure, Master Chief is a personal friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Halo,
yep.
9%. At number 8, Final Fantasy, 9%.
Don't know.
At number 7, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I can't. That was a Sega game.
Sega.
13%. You mentioned it, Stan. Zelda.
Ah.
13%.
Right there.
At number 5,
Pika Pika.
Pokemon. 13%.
Yeah, you know my favorite there, the Snorlax. That is my favorite.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, he's so big he'd be like a dam in a river, and then you don't want to wake him.
Picture yourself as a dam on a river.
Yeah,
a Snorlax.
That's brilliant. That's good.
At number 4, for those of us with the filthy minds, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
19%. At number 3, Donkey Kong, 19%.
One of your all-time greats.
At number 2, Call of Duty, 21%. And number 1, Super Mario Brothers, 47%.
Oh, that's by a mile.
Voted for Super Mario Brothers.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay. Anytime you'd like to shut up, you can begin.
Yeah.
Why do I picture Patrick Warburton when you say that? Not necessarily.
Well, I picture somebody else when I say that.
Well, it's very personal.
Yes, it's a very personal thing.
Yeah. Should I keep going or should we take a break?
Oh, take a break.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it probably is quite a blow to civic pride when someone's determined that your town has enough crackheads that it's worth starting a new business to cater specifically to them. And that is exactly what happened in 3 towns on Long Island, New York. Brookhaven, Coram, and Medford.
Yep, this is ridiculous.
A few weeks ago, someone installed crack pipe vending machines in all 3 towns. The machines claim they are selling pens for $2. These pens are a glass tube, a filter, and some ink. Now, in theory, if you really wanted to, you might be able to assemble a pen out of that.
You might be able to.
But in reality, people simply throw out the ink and use the pipe and filter for smoking crack.
Make me walk fast, make me walk fast, make me walk fast.
No one is sure who installed the machines, but people are a bit freaked out over this.
They're not like the vending machine that you think they are. It looks like, remember, like where you used to be able to get like a book of stamps.
That's exactly what it. That's probably what it is.
It's like an old style stamp machine. You'd put the coins in, pull it in, and pull it back, and it would give you the book of stamps. It's not like, you know, like a soda machine.
The police are investigating where they came from. And if they can figure it all out, they can possibly file criminal charges.
Because they look very mobile. If they had to get that out of there fast, they could. It's almost like the thing where you remember the old laundromats where you'd put the coins in and run them through? Like that.
Yeah, where you make sure you jam it in there.
Yeah, yeah, and then sometimes it wouldn't work, and then you couldn't pull it back out to make the washing machine kick in. I did that, you know, after... People don't realize this, and you know this for a fact, too. When you are starting it, and this is for college people, too, or people like Haney and I that went through a divorce, and you got to go to a new apartment or a new place to live... the importance of owning your own washer and dryer.
It's something you don't think about growing up.
You don't.
You take it for granted.
Yep. And then you realize that the place that you're living in now, because you can't afford the really nice place, doesn't have its own washer and dryer. You either got to take it to another room in the apartment complex that has them, well, or you got to go to the laundromat.
You end up in some sort of communal arrangement.
Yep.
Which brings its own problems.
Yep. You know, let me tell you something. A washing machine doesn't clean itself.
There's a 34-year-old gent named Adam Viennes from Thompson, Connecticut. And over the summer, he gave it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And decided he liked the idea of being a law enforcement officer.
He liked the idea of.
Yes. He was not as enthused with the effort and education it would take to actually be a law enforcement officer.
So what? Thus you get a security guard,
well,
right?
Well, he decided to dispense with all the formalities and just be a cop.
What?
He wound up talking to a 47-year-old gent named Keith Barnes, who was facing an impaired driving charge. And Adam told Keith he was a state trooper on temporary disability, but he could clear those charges for him.
Yeah.
He only wanted simple favor in return. Several beers and a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah,
and we'll make it go away.
Get this thing all taken care of. A shrimp cocktail.
Evidently, Adam was not very convincing because even Keith found the whole thing suspicious.
Yeah.
And it bothered him so much. He wound up calling the real cops to tell them what was going on. And on Monday, Adam was arrested for playing pretend.
Yeah, look at Officer Adam right there.
Oh, geez.
What's he got, a bum eye? Has he got a bum eye? Is that the disability that he was on? Temporary, till he could put a new glass one in. What's his deal?
I don't know.
Deal?
He looks like Jesus on the cross or something.
Yeah, his head's cocked. He's got a very thick mustache, goatee, and soul patch.
That's not a soul patch.
What is it?
That's beyond a patch.
It's like a caterpillar?
Yeah. Not a good look. Not a good look,
nope,
Adam.
Nope.
Maybe you think things through.
Officer.
Now, granted, Adam, if you become like Stan and I,
yeah,
you won't get in trouble. You'll think things through to their logical conclusion,
yep,
but it also means you'll never have fun again.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
You have to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, you do.
You have to learn. When you're having fun and you're not thinking of the logical conclusions of that, you get into trouble. You had a lot of fun. But you're getting burned for it.
And once you start thinking things through to their logical conclusion, you realize that all the fun that you've had was an illusion.
Yep.
You weren't even having fun.
No.
You just thought you were.
Yep. That was the booze talking.
Yep.
And your girlfriend reminded you of that.
Or you reminded her.
Yep. I want you to get out of this bar. You look straight at the floor and don't look at anybody else.
Hmm.
Seen it.
And over the years, we've known all types of people, and there is a certain type of person who truly believes that their life is some sort of romantic comedy. Case in point, Carlos Zatina is a student at the University of Calgary. And last week, he was at a bar on campus when he met a pretty girl named Nicole.
Yeah.
They hit it off. But according to Carlos, Nicole gave him her number.
Yeah.
But she accidentally typed her number into his phone wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a little mistake, a little juxtaposing the numbers. Or maybe it was the number on the side of the plumbing company truck across the street. You're brilliant.
Well, what to do?
Yeah.
He couldn't get Nicole out of his head. Could this be Mrs. Wright? Well, he woke up the next day and did the only thing he could do.
Yeah, went to stupid town.
He went and found every girl named Nicole in the student directory. All 246 of them.
Pathetic.
He sent all the Nicoles an email trying to find his special gal. There are many Nicoles, but this one is mine.
Right. But yet he emailed a bunch of other ones, and that's pure harassment.
Now, I'm sure you'll be shocked to learn it didn't work out exactly like he planned.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Maybe she wrote that number that way on purpose? To get her, get him the hell out of her hair?
As it turns out, the Nicole he met was not, in fact, in that directory.
No.
So, although he sent out 246 emails, his Nicole never got one.
No. Turns out it was one Nick.
And he did it as a mass email.
What?
He put all of their emails.
Is he that stupid?
Well, they really were not interested in Carlos at all.
Right.
But they were amused to find out there were so many other Nicoles out there.
Get some hens together.
And they began clucking in the barnyard. They began replying to each other. Yep. And in the process, kept the Nicole email chain going with one difference. They cut Carlos out of it.
Yeah, look at them. There they are. There they are. There's the Nicole gathering.
Yep.
They're all friends. They had no idea there were so many Nicoles. It's the Nicole Club.
Yeah. All we got to do is take Carlos out of this, and we've got a party.
There we go. And they did.
They're all friends hanging out, having fun without Carlos. Believe it or not, after all this, there is somewhat of a bright side for Carlos.
Oh, really?
One of those Nicoles, you know, the ones all sitting at the table together there?
Yeah.
One of those Nicoles actually did know the Nicole he was looking for, but didn't reach.
Right.
And she and Carlos are in touch and may go on a date.
May. You know, they got to put a happy ending on it.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Let the press die down and then dump
stay
him.
Away.
Yep.
He's got to learn. You got to learn. That comes with age.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, September 12th.
Double M XV triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like It is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. Gotta learn the hard way sometimes. Catch a clue, Carlos. Catch a clue. Look at the gang there. They're all, you know. And it is. He did
all the work, and then they just cut him right off.
Yep. And look at them all. Some nice, some not so nice. Look at Blubber Arm, the second one in from the left.
I'd say overall they acquit the name well.
Some of them do, like the one sitting next to her. Look at Blondie over there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, there's several of them.
Yeah. Oh, and the one on the other side, the brunette, kind of nice, very busty.
Mm-hmm.
But that one
aggressive.
Right there.
Aggressive.
Yeah. The one there, the Blubber Arm, is going to be the one kicked out of the group. What else you see there?
No, she'll be friends forever with everybody.
Oh, well. Yeah. She'll think that.
Yep. And she'll go to all their weddings and have to fit in a tight dress. And the bride will dare anybody to say anything about it.
Yep.
She is so sweet. But then somebody will make a joke about her being fat, and the bride will laugh and feel guilty about it.
We'll be back.
Oh, you are so bad.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney
on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. He's going to take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a little busy out there. Let's start Fort Myers. Crash. Big Pine Way and Daniels Parkway. Then we have Lehigh Acres. Crash. 3rd Street and Hamilton Avenue. Another one in Lehigh Acres. There's a crash. Lee Street at Lee Boulevard. Let's see what we get. What else? Oh, this one's in Bonita. Crash. The 28,000 block of South Tamiami Trail right at the McDonald's. And you are up to date. Let's laugh a little bit.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K Rock.
Yes, I'm married. I shouldn't say, it's not politically correct to say the word married anymore, so I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not married. I am sexually impaired. Being impaired, you know, it is like having a disability, except instead of being able to park anywhere, you only get one spot to park in. And on most nights, there's no parking allowed. That's the difference between single guys and married guys, right? Single guys, they just go around looking for a spot. Right? Single guys just want some overnight parking. Sometimes they'll take the first spot they see. Sometimes they will circle the block looking for a better spot. They will even approach a spot that's taken and be like, Are you leaving? Oh, go on. That's single guys. Married guys, we have a spot. And it's our own legal spot. But there are all sorts of parking restrictions. Oh, yeah, you got to read the signs on her face every night. Like, can I park here tonight? This can be okay. What's it say? No park Monday to Thursday. 8 p.m. to midnight. Except weekends, holidays, anniversaries. Yeah, I'm not going to risk it.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Saw this on the local morning news this morning. They're telling people in areas of Cape Coral to be aware of an invasive worm. It's called the New Guinea flatworm. And we're being told that it's an invasive species of worm, dangerous to touch. You don't want to step on it because it'll multiply and spread. It carries a parasite. It's going to be dangerous to your pets if they get a hold of it. And I wanted, because we don't know where it came from, or how it got here. And so I asked Junior to get us somebody with knowledge of this. And I'd like to bring on this gentleman. He's a professor at the University of America's El Salvador. He is Dr. Edgar Ejaculante, and he joins us now. Dr. Ejaculante, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you, doctor. Professor at the University of America's El Salvador, and I'm told you do know something or you have heard of this New Guinea flatworm. Explain, Dr. Ejaculante.
First of all, thank you for having me. You'll bear with me. This is my first time.
Understood, Professor. We just got word of this. Nobody has ever heard of this before showing up in our area. What do we know about the New Guinea flatworm?
Well, it's very bad news for the state of Florida. It's found around the world, mainly in what we like to call S-hole countries.
Okay, yeah.
It's got no business being in the United States at all. And it just invaded the state of Florida in the past year.
Okay.
Now, it has been seen in Hawaii. This is a first, and it's believed that it's made its way into Florida now, and it is just, this is not good news, I can tell you that.
Now,
it's nothing to mess with.
I'm told, Professor, that, well, some of our texters that texted us to the station say that this worm possibly could have entered the state of Florida, particularly in Cape Coral, through potted plants. It was in the soil. People go and take the plant out. They plant it into the ground. And lo and behold, we've got this invasive worm, the New Guinea flatworm. Is that how it got to, you know, the United States, primarily mainland United States, and now here in Florida?
As you know, this is a New Guinea worm.
Mm-hmm.
And New Guinea is in an area of the world that one would associate with Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Australia being a penal colony of the British?
Right, which it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Well, we're trying to get to, well, where did this come from?
I want to know how it got to the United States, Professor. I know that it might be in other countries. I know that it might be Hawaii, but how did it get here?
Well, what I've learned, and you're not going to see this in any textbook unless I write one.
Mm-hmm. Have you written any?
No, but it seems as if, based on your phone call, there's some interest now.
Yeah.
Perhaps I will.
Yeah, that's a good start. Get published, you know. I thought all professors had to get published part of their, you know, becoming a professor. I see you're at the University of America's El Salvador. You don't carry an accent. Are you an American who went to the University of America's in El Salvador to get your degree, Professor?
Yes, I attended the university.
Okay, is there an actual campus or is it online?
It's a community, educational community without walls.
Okay, gotcha. Again, we're talking to Professor Dr. Edgar Ejaculante.
And you are correct. I guess I have been published.
You have to be, I guess, to be a professor.
But being published in the world of academia, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's all a big circle jerk. Nobody reads it.
I understand.
It's not like being published where someone would read it.
Sure, I understand it. Well, I would assume that some of your colleagues would have to read because you would have to have done some kind of research or come up with some kind of thesis or experiment.
That's a misconception. As I explained, it's all a big circle jerk.
Okay.
So they send me their papers, mm-hmm. and I ask them, what do you you want me to say about it.
Okay, very good. Let's talk about this New Guinea flatworm. I am told don't touch it, do not step on it, that it will go and multiply it.
When well,
it,
with it. Yes. These things are asexual. They bang themselves.
I didn't want to even bother asking him the last question.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.